Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
To the window, to the walls. Yes, I'm really not trying to say I told you so. I mean, because y'all know me, I don't like to gloat. Okay, I don't like to brag about things. I don't boast or puff myself up. You know, I allow other people to do that. So, you know, like if I try to say something that I know is right, that nobody else agrees with or believes in or anything like that, I just, you know, I say it quietly. You know, I don't write op-eds or get loud about it. You know, I just say it quietly, maybe to a select few group of people, and then I walk away. You know, I don't like to say I told you so. You know, I don't really do that, those kinds of things. But you know, I don't know if you guys remember about two or three weeks ago, I wrote an op-ed saying that Kamala Harris, you know, was going to pick Tim Walz, and, you know, Dan Cook said, no, it's got to be Josh Shapiro. And, you know, a couple of other people were like, you're wrong. I don't think that's accurate. And then, you know, I had Eric Escala on this show last week, and I can't remember what he said. Josh is probably going to pull up that beautiful Bean footage and play it from last week. But I figured we needed a follow-up conversation after the news broke on Tuesday that indeed Kamala Harris had selected Tim Walz to be her running mate. So Eric Escala is back on the show, joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Hey, Double E!
Your humility is catching. I even feel it now.
You know, I called about 500 people on my way to his house, because, you know, I went to the house. When I heard So when I heard that she picked him, I was watching CNN, and I told the kids, I said, you have to feed and take care of yourselves. Dope yourselves up. Give yourselves your own medicine. Your mama's going to be gone for I don't know how long. Call and see if your daddy can come over. If not, babysit yourselves. Okay.
Wow.
You're 9, 11, and 12. Really, I've done all I can do for you. You know, the lights are on. The mortgage is paid. There's some Lunchables in the refrigerator. Good luck. You know, and then I hopped in the 9-seater and I went over to the mansion because CNN had a live shot and it was just so many people out there. I just felt like I wanted to be in the crowd and see what was going on. And I saw Mary LaHammer was on CNN. Like they showed her butt, like the back of Mary LaHammer. But, you know, I know Mary's butt. So when they show, I was like, that's Mary's butt. I'm going down to hang out with Mary. So I went down there and it was just so electric. He didn't come out to speak or anything like that. They got in the big black SUVs and they whisked him away. But it was just, you know, it was just, everybody was just so proud that, you know, our governor from the state of Minnesota was going to be on a national stage and all spotlight and eyes were going to be on us. And I mean, it was neighbors. It was people like me who drove across town. It was, you know, people who biked over. We were just all there in awe and wanted to be together in that moment.
Is that where you invented the latest dance craze, the Walz Wiggle?
Jesus, you know, I'm so creative. Lord, I tell you, Jesus loves me. So, I was really upset that they kept pronouncing our governor's name wrong. Did you see that?
Yeah, Walz instead of Walz.
Yes, what was that about? There's no T in the man's name. I mean, are they not looking at the prompter?
Well, there's a U.S. House member, Waltz. Maybe that's how they got mixed up.
Oh, okay, okay.
I think his name is Steve Waltz.
Steve Waltz. Now, where's Steve Waltz from?
Florida, I think, but don't quote me, but I believe so.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, every news outlet in town was saying his name wrong. And so NPR did a story, and there was a young man on TikTok. I think his name is Robert Blackman. And he said, I'm going to teach everybody how to say Tim Walz's name. And so he put on an old, I think, 90s, early 2000s rap song called Get Low. And in the song, they say to the windows, to the walls. The song says to the windows, to the walls. Josh, do you have that? Can you cue that up, to the windows, to the walls? Because I don't think Eric Escala knows who Lil Jon and the East Side Boys are.
East Side Boys?
Yeah, Lil Jon.
I roll with that crew.
You roll with the East Side Boys. That's what I thought. I knew you did. You probably got the cane and the shallot and everything.
Is this it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
You see how they say it, to the walls, to the walls. So they say to the window, to the walls. And he was telling people, that's how you pronounce his name. Just remember that, to the walls. And when I saw that, I thought, we got to do a dance line. So I don't know how to do dance lines. So I went, there's a Facebook group of Minnesota dance liners. And there's a lady named Miss Lynn Carr, and she lives in Woodbury. And so I called up at about 11:30 at night because I was so excited, you know, because it was just the excitement of the day. And I said, hi, Miss Lynn, my name is Shaletta. You don't know me, but I need you to meet me at my house in the morning at 8:30. And I'm going to send you this music. I need you to create me a line dance. And so she probably, you think she thought I was crazy? What you think?
Well, if the shoe fits.
But you know what Miss Lynn did? Miss Lynn got up out of her bed and she created that line dance. And the next morning at 8:30, she got her butt in an Uber and she came to my house and she taught me that line dance. And we created the Walls Wiggle using that song from Lil Jon and the East Side Boys. So I got it up on YouTube. It's on all my social media pages. And you know how Bring Your Ass is the new state slogan for Minnesota?
Yeah.
The Walls Wiggle. Yeah, Anthony Edwards. So the Walls Wiggle is going to be our new state dance. That's the goal.
You've got some moves. I was trying to practice it, but it was a little too intricate for me. But
I'm gonna send Miss Lynn to your house, and she can work with you. You know, I know you're gonna probably have to take it in sections. You know, you might have to do section one this week, section two next week, section three the week after that. So I know you'll have to take it in sections. So we'll go slow with you. It's okay. It's okay.
Are you now Boom Lady? What's that all about?
Okay, wait a minute. Sir, you did this to me last time, and I promised myself that it wasn't going to happen again, and now it's happening again. You slick, because this is my show. This is not the Eric Escala show. This is the Shaletta show. I'm supposed to be asking you the questions, and somehow you asking me all the questions.
I forgot. Go ask a question. Go ahead.
So the boom thing, what had happened was everybody was in front of Tim Walz's house after he left. We were all high-fiving and hugging and so excited. And so we were all leaving. And so the NBC reporter put a microphone in my face. Imagine that. She didn't know my name. I didn't tell her my name. In fact, when she posted it on social media, she just called me an exciting Minnesota resident, right? And so she said, how do you feel about Tim Walz being picked to be Vice President Kamala Harris's running mate? And then I said, boom, winning, big dad energy. Okay. And so she posted that on social media. Now, Eric, tell me this ain't God. This woman has probably 1,000 followers. Uh-huh. In a couple of hours, there were 800,000 hits on that social media post.
For your boom thing?
For my boom thing. Man. And then NBC Politics picked it up and they got like 2 million hits. And then NBC News picked it up and they got 5 million hits.
See, I'm just worried you're going to become too big for Minnesota.
I was thinking the same thing. I mean, where are we going to be? I mean, that's the dilemma. What do we do at that point? What do we do? Because Andrew Zimmer got big, but he didn't leave. You know, he stayed. So, I mean, what do I do? I love Minnesota, but I mean, it's getting big. It's kind of like when you have on pants that are too tight, you have to find some relief, you know?
I've had that problem.
But it has been just like, I haven't done any work. Like, I got emails piling up. I got bills I haven't paid. I have kids I haven't kissed, because I have just been having so, as someone who's covered politics a long time in this town, this is just an exciting moment.
Well, yeah, I mean, the hometown guy does well and kind of comes out of nowhere and now is a big hit on the political front. He's touring the country with Kamala Harris. He hasn't really faced the tough questions yet, and I'll be curious how he handles the national news media coverage and in the debates and in news conferences and stuff. I'll be curious how well he handles all of that. I think the debate with Senator Vance, if there is one, will be quite interesting. But negative ads on both sides are starting to come out. I see mm-hmm. Kamala Harris this morning is out with some new immigration ads, pledging a tougher stand on border issues than I think the administration has had. And I think she's answering a real tough issue for the Democrats, which is immigration. And Trump is still seen as best able to handle immigration and the economy. But clearly, from the Biden time where he was the candidate, and now that he's left the debate, then he left, and certainly Democrats are very much energized around the country.
Okay, I'm going to keep you around for another segment because I want to ask you what your first reaction was when you heard about it, if you were surprised, and did you think of me? More with Eric Escala when we come back. I got Mr. Big Stuff on the radio with me right now. It's 12:34 on the Shaletta Show, News Talk 830 WCCO Radio. Eric Escala, Mr. Sitting Silk Scarf himself from TPT's Almanac is joining us. And Eric, I have to ask you, where were you when you found out that Kamala Harris had selected Tim Walz? What was your first reaction, and did you think of me?
Well, of course, I'm always thinking of you, so that's a given. But it had come down to Governor Shapiro from Pennsylvania and Governor Walz, and I just as the thing narrowed, it just seemed to me that Shapiro had a couple of few more negatives than would be useful for the campaign, and so. Surprised but not shocked when I heard the news. And of course, Minnesota is also the cradle of vice presidents, and so this fits very neatly into our state's history.
Why do you think that? What is it about? Is it you know? So I've lived in a couple of states. You know, when you in our business, you move around a lot from state to state.
Sure.
Until you get to the market that you want to be in. And one thing that I can say about Minnesota more than anywhere else I've ever lived, and I've lived in five states, is that there's a spirit of cooperation. There's a spirit of listening and togetherness and understanding and compromise like I have never seen anywhere else. And if there's a certain quality when you, because you're a historian as well, when you look back over the past vice presidential candidates and Tim Walz, do you see any kind of common thread there?
Well, the two that have made it to the vice presidential position are Hubert Humphrey, who was, of course, the happy warrior. And that has been picked up, you know, the joyous warriors and the joy of campaigning and happy and all that stuff that Walz and Harris are putting forward is right out of the Hubert Humphrey playbook. And he was vice president from 1964 to 1968 under Lyndon Johnson. Walter Mondale was the vice president under Jimmy Carter from after the 1976 election to 1980. And again, a problem solver and a, you know, kind of a soft-spoken, earnest fellow. Kim Pawlenty came close. You'll remember that, Shaletta, when Sarah Palin was picked
instead
by John
McCain. They picked my girl Sarah
McCain.
Palin. Yes, yeah. I remember that. And I remember somebody asked him, are you, did they pick you? And he was like, well, I'm not getting on a plane. He was real salty about that. I remember that.
Well, he was after he had heard the news, Governor Plenty was out walking his dog. And the dog did his business, and the governor with his plastic bag said, this is the best number two I'm going to have all day because I'm not going to be the vice president. So that was his number two.
I love it. And he got a sense of humor.
Oh, for sure.
Now, what do you think when looking back at the comparisons between Walz and Shapiro, knowing now that Walz was the one who was selected, what do you think set him apart or put him ahead?
Well, he got along better with Kamala Harris, apparently, more than Governor Shapiro did. Governor Shapiro is a very strong Jewish tradition. And, of course, with the Democrats kind of split over Palestine versus Israel, that would have probably been a provocative move for the convention. Were he to address the convention as the vice presidential nominee, I think that might have further split the Democrats on the war issue in the Middle East. And also, he was supported school vouchers, which is, you know, state or federal money to help parents get their kids into private schools. And of course, that is not popular with the public school teachers. And they're a very, very strong and powerful constituency of the Democratic Party. And then that was another strike against him. And then I think thirdly, he clearly has designs on higher office. And I would be shocked if he's not a future presidential candidate, still a young man. And I wonder if Kamala Harris thought that Governor Walz, who says, told her that he doesn't want to be president and won't be trying to angle for that, that he was a safer bet, a more loyal possibility than Governor Shapiro.
You know, that's the thing that I was thinking about, Eric, when I, you know, rightly did my op-ed a week before the announcement was made.
You were all over this thing. You were all over this thing.
Well, this is the thing. I'm a Black woman. You know, I don't know if you knew it. I don't know if you realized it, but I'm a Black woman, and Kamala Harris is you know, of mixed race, and she is also partly a Black woman. And so I know how we think and what we and not that we're a monolith, but you know, there's certain things that we are looking for, and one of them is trust. One of them is trust. One of them is somebody who's gonna have our back. Somebody who's not going to try to stab us in the back. Somebody we can count on to depend on when we walk out of the room. If somebody says something negative about us in the room we just walked out of, we need somebody that's going to say, hey, no, you're not going to talk about her like that. And then I'm going to tell her what you said. I don't know if you realize this, but there have always been leaks. Anytime somebody's doing something in politics, oh, this is a leak. And we heard this, and here's the whole email that, you know, was leaked. And we can't say unnamed sources because they can't speak because they're not authorized to speak, have told us. And then they're giving us the whole playbook. This thing was on lock. Nobody knew anything until the announcement was made. She has a really good team that she can trust around her. And that's something that Black women don't play about. We don't play about trust.
Well, I do think that loyalty aspect was very important to her. And you said it very well, I think.
Yeah. Now, I mean, were you surprised that it didn't leak, that nobody found out about it before it happened?
Well, the whole thing has been kind of secretive because there was a very interesting article in the New York Times last week about the kind of the subterranean below the radar campaign that the governor and his aides here in Minnesota did to have him be in the mix just in case. And just in case happened when President Biden decided not to run, and he had made contacts. He's the head of the Democratic National Governors Association. And so he's made a lot of contacts around the country. He has raised money for people. He's been on TV. He really positioned himself beautifully in case something happened, and something did happen. And
but Eric.
Yeah.
This whole what?
This whole effort was kind of under the radar, and he was just beautifully positioned and then took it from there. But he was all over. Wasn't he all over cable TV for the last few weeks?
That's what that's the thing, Eric. It seemed like it was a Kansas City shuffle. You know how, you know, you pick a card, any card, you know, it seemed like nobody saw it coming. like it was a rope-a-dope. Like you thought that there's no way this guy from Minnesota, we got Minnesota on lock. It's not a swing state. It, you know, it's not up for grabs. We, you know, we don't need to even campaign that. We got Minnesota. If we don't need to, we good. And it seemed like he just kind of went through the corn maze and somehow came out before anybody else did.
Well, he went from 0 to 60 in just a few seconds, for sure.
Yeah.
But it was more calculated than just serendipity. They apparently had laid substantial groundwork to be considered if this were to happen.
And you know, I told somebody, I don't know if you noticed, like it was like maybe even a whole month ago. Like all of a sudden, I just started seeing him on CNN. Like I was sitting in the kitchen, I was like, "What is Tim Walz doing on CNN? Is that Carol Levin?" You know, because you didn't see him in the national news like that.
No,
you may see him on the local news. It popped out of, it started about a month or so ago. Did you notice that, or was it just me?
Yeah. No, it popped out of nowhere. And I think his staff was, his campaign staff was, you know, actively talking. And you do this for a living. You've been a guest booker for years. And you know how that works. Somebody gives you a pitch, and you try to get the position to be, you know, before the public in some form or another. And I'm sure that his aides were calling the various talk show bookers on the cable news networks, for instance. See, here, have my guy on. He'll have some interesting things to say about the political race. And they put him on. And this was all part of apparently a coordinated effort. The public appearances on cable news was part of the organized plan to get him some notoriety and some name recognition that turned out to be beneficial, obviously.
Are you surprised at how welcoming people are? I haven't heard very many people, Democrat or Republican, you know, taking him to task on anything yet. Is this a honeymoon phase, or are they just relieved the decision is made? What the hell is going on?
Well, I think that shows the pent-up anxiety there was among Democratic voters that Joe Biden was going to lose to Donald Trump. And so the fresh face and the new ticket and all that is a breath of fresh air for the Democrats. But he's got issues. The military record's going to be brought up, and how he handled COVID and how he handled the George Floyd aftermath. They've called him, the Republicans have called to order, called to people's attention that he was meeting with an imam in Minnesota who had encouraged some negative behavior along the lines of terrorism. So there's going to be negative ads. And in the end, we had a couple of political science professors on last night who said, you know, the question was, do people vote for the running mate or do they run for the top position? And the answer was, they vote for the presidential candidate, not the running mate. So this has been a great unifier for Democrats and a breath of fresh air for Democrats. How far it goes, you know, who knows? We're totally in uncharted territory here, and who knows what's going to happen.
Okay, I want to know what's going to happen at this convention. It is coming up. It is in Chicago. Everything has changed. More with Eric Escala on that topic when we come back. You'll be hearing that song when Kamala Harris walks out on stage at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago in just a week. Eric Escala is joining me to continue this conversation on Tim Walz being selected as her running mate, how the city is electric, what are some of the shots he's going to have to take because of his record. And we have not talked about this convention. It was a sleepy little convention at one point. Eric, a lot of delegates were like, we ain't going. No big deal. There weren't as many parties booked because I wanted to go just to go to the parties, because you and I both know the conventions is where the parties are, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, that's some good parties. And so, you know, just kind of calling around, they didn't really have a lot going on. And now it's the hottest ticket in town. Are you going to the convention? And now that everything's all changed up, what do you expect is going to be the vibe there?
Well, Joe Biden is going to speak apparently on Monday night, the first night of the convention, and often the outgoing office holder speaks on the last night, but it varies from convention to convention. And I'm guessing the Democratic strategy is to pay tribute to Joe Biden, kind of, you know, show reverence to him and thank him for his work, and then out with the old and in with the new, and then the rest of the convention will clearly be designed to showcase Kamala Harris and Tim Walz as the new thing. The Republicans are going to say it's one of the most radical liberal tickets in American history. You wonder if the Palestinian supporters are going to be in the street protesting. You know, there are the haunting symbols of 1968 when the Democratic convention was held in Chicago, and anti-Vietnam War protesters got into what they later called a police riot, and a lot of them got beaten up in Grant Park in Chicago. I don't have any idea how broad the protests of the pro-Palestinian folks are going to be, but that's one thing to watch for outside the convention hall for sure.
Mm-hmm. What do you expect to hear from Walz and Harris? Right now, it's a lot of rah-rah. Right now, it's a lot of teleprompter speeches. Right now, it's a lot of riling up the base. But at some point, we're going to have to talk more policy. We're going to have to talk why they are, you know, the ones that need to hold this office, why she picked him, why he said yes. I mean, you know, I like the cheering and stuff, but, you know, this excitement is wearing off. I need to, you know, have some meat with my potatoes.
Well, don't you think you use the convention as kind of a launching pad where you maybe don't you do the fine details, but you do the general vision and you make try to make everybody feel good? One of the things I think that they hope that Walz brings is an ability to be tolerated by the progressives and yet appeal to kind of the Midwestern, I'm a native of Nebraska thing that Walz brings. And to bring the party as unified as possible, and then head out of the convention. And then Labor Day is usually the kind of the traditional kickoff, and there'll be debates to get into the finer points of policy. But I do think this has sort of a pep rally feel to it, and it's a new ticket. What is it? A month? Not even a month, is it? It's a week.
No, it's a week. It'll be a week old on Tuesday. But yeah, you know, so the news cycle now, we move quick now. We ain't like we used to be. We move quick. We move on very quickly.
Mm-hmm. I was just talking to somebody about this morning, that the assassination attempt and the debate and Biden leaving, you barely remember all that stuff. It does move fast. Yeah, for sure.
Man, TikTok has got the news cycle moving very, very quickly. Now, before you go, you have to tell me, did you hear about Harris calling Walz and the number came up anonymous and he didn't answer? Is that true or is that just urban legend?
No, that's true. And how did they get those cameras in there to get both sides answering the she calling and him answering? That was a good photojournalism or photo campaigning to get that out very quickly. Very convenient. They both had their cell phones out.
Very, very, very convenient. Now, I have to ask you, that makes me wonder, do you, Eric Escala, answer anonymous calls?
If the phone rings, I usually pick it up, yeah.
Okay, whether it's anonymous or not.
Well, you never know. It could be Hollywood.
And you know, that's me. That's me. Because who was I talking? Oh, Dave Harrigan, one of our fellow producers here at WCCO Radio. We were chatting about this, and I told him I don't know how the money's going to call. I don't know how the money is trying to reach me, but I want to be available if the money calls. And so I answer all. It could say spam. You know, sometimes the new phones, they say spam. I pick it up anyway. I got to know it's spam.
Seed, time, and harvest, right?
Seed, time, and harvest. Sowing and reaping. Amen. Uh-huh. Don't make me pay you a tithe. I'm not paying you a tithe. You come over here preaching.
I want two nickels for each dollar.
Now, what you got planned for the rest of the day? I sure appreciate you hanging out with me, but I want to know what you got going on this weekend.
We're celebrating my mom's 98th birthday.
The
whole family is up in Duluth today.
What a blessing. So what are y'all going to do for mama?
Well, her birthday was Thursday, and so we've had a 4-day observance, and the grandkids are in, and my sister and her husband and my two brothers and me, we're having a ball.
Oh, that's beautiful. Now, how many people are there?
Nine.
Wow. Is she just in hog heaven?
Yeah, she's tolerating us well. She's doing great.
She's tolerating us well.
She still does taxes as a sideline at 98 and on the computer and all of that stuff. So she's doing terrific.
You know, it's just a blessing. I know that, you know, and I don't know if this is a Friday night routine. I hope I'm not telling your business. But every Friday that I'm on Almanac before the show, you spend some time and talk with your mother. Is that a ritual for you?
Oh, sure. Well, I talk to her a couple times a day. And with all the politics, I've been calling her more frequently in the last few weeks. But
she keeps up with all of it?
Oh, very much so. She's my northern correspondent out of Duluth.
Well, you tell the northern correspondent out of Duluth, we said happy birthday, God bless, and keep her. And thank you for hanging out with me, friend.
Always fun. Always fun. Thanks, Shaletta.
All right. And I have survived that Delta flight to Boston, where I am doing the show live. Don't go anywhere. We got 2 more hours coming up next. To the window, to the walls. Yes, I'm really not trying to say I told you so. I mean, because y'all know me, I don't like to gloat. Okay, I don't like to brag about things. I don't boast or puff myself up. You know, I allow other people to do that. So, you know, like if I try to say something that I know is right, that nobody else agrees with, the believes in or anything like that, I just, you know, I say it quietly. You know, I don't write op-eds or get loud about it. You know, I just say it quietly, maybe to a select few group of people, and then I walk away. You know, I don't like to say I told you so. You know, I don't really do that, those kinds of things. But you know, I don't know if you guys remember about two or three weeks ago, I wrote an op-ed saying that Kamala Harris, you know, was going to pick Tim Walz, and, you know, Dan Cook said, no, it's got to be Josh Shapiro. And, you know, a couple of other people were like, you're wrong. I don't think that's accurate. And then, you know, I had Eric Escala on this show last week, and I can't remember what he said. Josh is probably going to pull up that beautiful Bean footage and play it from last week. But I figured we needed a follow-up conversation after the news broke on Tuesday that indeed Kamala Harris had selected Tim Walz to be her running mate. So Eric Escala is back on the show, joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Hey, Double E!
Your humility is catching. I even feel it now.
You know, I called about 500 people on my way to his house, because, you know, I went to the house when I heard So when I heard that she picked him, I was watching CNN, and I told the kids, I said, you have to feed and take care of yourselves. Dope yourselves up. Give yourselves your own medicine. Your mama's going to be gone for I don't know how long. Call and see if your daddy can come over. If not, babysit yourselves. Okay.
Wow.
You're 9, 11, and 12. Really, I've done all I can do for you. You know, the lights are on. The mortgage is paid. There's some Lunchables in the refrigerator. Good luck. You know, and then I hopped in the 9-seater and I went over to the mansion because CNN had a live shot and it was just so many people out there. I just felt like I wanted to be in the crowd and see what was going on. And I saw Mary LaHammer was on CNN. Like they showed her butt, like the back of Mary LaHammer. But, you know, I know Mary's butt. So when they show, I was like, that's Mary's butt. I'm going down to hang out with Mary. So I went down there and it was just so electric. He didn't come out to speak or anything like that. They got in the big black SUVs and they whisked him away. But it was just, you know, it was just, everybody was just so proud that, you know, our governor from the state of Minnesota was going to be on a national stage and all spotlight and eyes were going to be on us. And I mean, it was neighbors. It was people like me who drove across town. It was, you know, people who biked over. We were just all there in awe and wanted to be together in that moment.
Is that where you invented the latest dance craze, the Walz Wiggle?
Jesus, you know, I'm so creative. Lord, I tell you, Jesus loves me. So, I was really upset that they kept pronouncing our governor's name wrong. Did you see that?
Yeah, Walz instead of Walz.
Yes, what was that about? There's no T in the man's name. I mean, are they not looking at the prompter?
Well, there's a U.S. House member, Walz. Maybe that's how they got mixed up.
Oh, okay, okay.
I think his name is Steve Walz.
Steve Walz. Now, where's Steve Walz from?
Florida, I think, but don't quote me, but I believe so.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, every news outlet in town was saying his name wrong. And so NPR did a story, and there was a young man on TikTok. I think his name is Robert Blackman. And he said, I'm going to teach everybody how to say Tim Walz's name. And so he put on an old, I think, 90s, early 2000s rap song called Get Low. And in the song, they say, to the windows, to the walls. The song says, to the windows, to the walls. Josh, do you have that? Can you cue that up, to the windows, to the walls? Because I don't think Eric Escala knows who Lil Jon and the East Side Boys are.
East Side Boys?
Yeah, Lil Jon.
I roll with that
You
crew.
roll with the East Side Boys. That's what I thought. I knew you did. I knew you did. I knew you probably got the cane and the shallot and everything.
It?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
You see how they say it, to
Oh,
the
my.
walls, to the walls. So they say, to the window, to the walls. And he was telling people that's how you pronounce his name. Just remember that, to the walls. And when I saw that, I thought, we gotta do a dance line. So I don't know how to do dance lines. So I went, there's a Facebook group of Minnesota dance liners, and there's a lady named Miss Lynn Carr, and she lives in Woodbury. And so I called up at about 11:30 at night because I was so excited, you know, because it was just the excitement of the day. And I said, hi, Miss Lynn, my name is Shaletta. You don't know me, but I need you to meet me at my house in the morning at 8:30, and I'm gonna send you this music. I need you to create me a line dance. And so she probably, you think she thought I was crazy? What you think?
Well, if the shoe fits.
But you know what Miss Lynn did? Miss Lynn got up out of her bed and she created that line dance. And the next morning at 8:30, she got her butt in an Uber and she came to my house and she taught me that line dance. And we created the Walls Wiggle using that song from Lil Jon and the East Side Boys. So I got it up on YouTube. It's on all my social media pages. And you know how Bring Your Ass is the new state slogan for Minnesota?
Yeah.
The
Anthony
Walls
Edwards, yeah.
Wiggle. Yeah, Anthony Edwards. So the Walls Wiggle is going to be our new state dance. That's the goal. That's the goal.
Well,
That's the goal.
you've got some moves. I was trying to practice it, but it was a little too intricate for me, but
I'm gonna send Miss Lynn to your house, and she can work with you. You know, I know you're gonna probably have to take it in sections. You know, you might have to
Yeah.
do section one this week, section two next week, section three the week after that. So I know you'll have to take it in sections. So we'll go slow with you. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
Are you now boom lady? What's that all about?
Okay. Okay, wait a minute. Sir, you did this to me last time, and I promised myself that it wasn't going to happen again, and now it's happening again. You slick. You slick because this is my show. This is not the Eric Escala show. This is the Shaletta show. I'm supposed to be asking you the questions, and somehow you asking me all the questions.
I forgot. Go ask a question. Go ahead.
So the boom thing, what had
Yeah.
happened was, everybody was in front of Tim Walz's house after he left. We were all high-fiving and hugging and so excited. And so we were all leaving. And so the NBC reporter put a microphone in my face. Imagine that. She didn't know my name. I didn't tell her my name. In fact, when she posted it on social media, she just called me an exciting Minnesota resident, right? And so she said, how do you feel about Tim Walz being picked to be Vice President Kamala Harris's running mate? And then I said, boom, winning, big dad energy, okay? And so she posted that on social media. Now, Eric, tell me this ain't God. This woman has probably 1,000 followers. In a couple of hours, there were 800,000 hits on that social media post.
For your boom thing?
For my
Wow.
boom thing, for my boom thing. And
Man.
then NBC Politics picked it up and they got like 2 million hits. And then NBC News picked it up and they got 5 million hits.
See, I'm just worried you're going to become too big for Minnesota.
I was thinking the same thing. I mean, where are we gonna be? I mean, that's the dilemma. What do we do at that point? What do we do? Because Andrew Zimmern got big, but he didn't leave. You know, he stayed. So, I mean, what do I do? I love Minnesota, but I mean, it's getting big. You know, it's kind of like when you have on pants that are too tight, you have to find some relief. You know.
I've had that problem.
Oh, haven't done any work. Like, I got emails piling up. I got bills I haven't paid. I have kids I haven't kissed because I have just been having so, I mean, as someone who's covered politics a long time in this town, this is just an exciting moment.
Well, yeah, I mean, the hometown guy does well and kind of comes out of nowhere and now is a big hit on the political front. He's touring the country with Kamala Harris. He hasn't really faced the tough questions yet, and I'll be curious how he handles the national news media coverage and in the debates and in news conferences and stuff. I'll be curious how well he handles all of that. I think the debate with Senator Vance, if there is one, will be quite interesting. But negative ads on both sides are starting to come out. I see Kamala Harris this morning is out with some new immigration ads pledging a tougher stand on border issues than I think the administration has had. And I think she's answering a real tough issue for the Democrats, which is immigration. And Trump is still seen as best able to handle immigration and the economy. But clearly, from the Biden time where he was the candidate, and now that he's left the debate, then he left. And certainly Democrats are very much energized around the country.
Okay, I'm going to keep you around for another segment because I want to ask you what your first reaction was when you heard about it, if you were surprised, and did you think of me? More with Eric Escala when we come back. I got Mr. Big Stuff on the radio with me right now. It's 12:34 on the Shaletta Show, News Talk 830 WCCO Radio. Eric Escala, Mr. Sitting Silk Scarf himself from TPT's Almanac is joining us. And Eric, I have to ask you, where were you when you found out that Kamala Harris had selected Tim Walz? What was your first reaction, and did you think of me?
Well, of course, I'm always thinking of you, so that's a given. But it had come down to Governor Shapiro from Pennsylvania and Governor Walz, and I just as the thing narrowed, it just seemed to me that Shapiro had a couple of few more negatives than would be useful for the campaign, and so. Surprised but not shocked when I heard the news. And, of course, Minnesota is also the cradle of vice presidents. And so this fits very neatly into our state's history.
And why do you think that? What is it about? So I've lived in a couple of states. You know, when you in our business, you move around a lot from state to state until you get to the market that you want to be in. And one thing that I can say about Minnesota more than anywhere else I've ever lived, and I've lived in five states, is that there's a spirit of cooperation. There's a spirit of listening and togetherness and understanding and compromise like I have never seen anywhere else. And if there's a certain quality when you, because you're a historian as well, when you look back over the past vice presidential candidates and Tim Walz, do you see any kind of common thread there?
Well, the two that have made it to the vice presidential position are Hubert Humphrey, who was, of course, the happy warrior. And that has been picked up, you know, the joyous warriors and the joy of campaigning and the happy and all that stuff that Walz and Harris are putting forward is right out of the Hubert Humphrey playbook. And he was vice president from 1964 to 1968 and under Lyndon Johnson. Walter Mondale was the vice president under Jimmy Carter from after the 1976 election to 1980. And again, a problem solver and a, you know, kind of a soft-spoken, earnest fellow. Tim Pawlenty came close. You'll remember that, Shaletta, when Sarah Palin was picked
instead
by John
McCain.
They picked
my girl Sarah Palin. Yes. Yeah. I remember that. And I remember somebody asked him, did they pick you? And he was like, well, I'm not getting on a plane. He was real salty about that. I remember that.
Well, he was after he had heard the news, he was out, Governor Plenty was out walking his dog and the dog did his business. And the governor with his plastic bag said, this is the best number two I'm going to have all day. Because I'm not going to be the vice president. So that was his number two.
I love it. And he got a sense of humor.
Oh, for sure.
Now, What do you think when looking back at the comparisons between Walls and Shapiro, knowing now that Walls was the one who was selected, what do you think set him apart or put him ahead?
Well, he got along better with Kamala Harris, apparently, more than Governor Shapiro did. Governor Shapiro is a very strong Jewish tradition. And, of course, with the Democrats kind of split over Palestine versus Israel, that would have probably been a provocative move for the convention. Were he to address the convention as the vice presidential nominee, I think that might have further split the Democrats on the war issue in the Middle East. And also he was supported school vouchers, which is, you know, state or federal money to help parents get their kids into private schools. And of course, that is not popular with the public school teachers. And they're a very, very strong and powerful constituency of the Democratic Party. And then that was another strike against him. And then I think thirdly, he clearly has designs on higher office. And I would be shocked if he's not a future presidential candidate, still a young man. And I wonder if Kamala Harris thought that Governor Walls, who says told her that he doesn't want to be president and won't be trying to angle for that, that he was a safer bet, a more loyal possibility than Governor Shapiro.
You know, that's the thing that I was thinking about, Eric, when I, you know, rightly did my op-ed a week before the announcement was made.
Yeah, you were all over this thing. You were all over this thing.
Well, this is the thing. I'm a black woman. You know, I don't know if you knew it. I don't know if you realized it, but I'm a black woman. And Kamala Harris is you know, of mixed race, and she is also partly a black woman. And so I know how we think and what we and not that we're a monolith, but, you know, there's certain things that we are looking for. And one of them is trust. One of them is trust. One of them is somebody who's going to have our back. Somebody who's not going to try to stab us in the back. Somebody we can count on, to depend on when we walk out of the room. If somebody says something negative about us in the room we just walked out of, we need somebody that's going to say, hey, no, you're not going to talk about her like that. And then I'm going to tell her what you said. I don't know if you realize this, but there have always been leaks, 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 leaks. Anytime somebody's doing something in politics, oh, this is a leak. And we heard this, and here's the whole email that, you know, was leaked. And we can't say unnamed sources because they can't speak because they're not authorized to speak, have told us. And then they're giving us the whole playbook. This thing was on lock. Nobody knew anything until the announcement was made. She has a really good team that she can trust around her. And that's something that black women don't play about. We don't play about trust.
Well, I do think that loyalty aspect was very important to her. And you said it very well, I think.
Yeah. Now, I mean, were you surprised that it didn't leak, that nobody found out about it before it happened?
Well, the whole thing has been kind of secretive, because there was a very interesting article in the New York Times last week about the kind of the subterranean, below the radar campaign that the governor and his aides here in Minnesota did to have him be in the mix just in case. And just in case happened when President Biden decided not to run. And he had made contacts. He's the head of the Democratic National Governors Association. And so he's made a lot of contacts around the country. He has raised money for people. He's been on TV. He really positioned himself beautifully in case something happened, and something did happen. And
but
this
Eric,
whole, yeah,
this whole what?
This whole effort was kind of under the radar, and he was just beautifully positioned, and then took it from there. But he was all over, wasn't he? All over cable TV for the.
He was all, that's what that's the thing, Eric, it seemed like it was a Kansas City shuffle. You know how, you know, you pick a card, any card, you know, it seemed like nobody saw it coming. Like it was a rope-a-dope. Like you thought that there's no way this guy from Minnesota, we got Minnesota on lock. It's not a swing state. It's not up for grabs. We don't need to even campaign that. We got Minnesota. If we don't need to, we good. And it seemed like he just kind of went through the corn maze and somehow came out before anybody else did.
Well, he went from 0 to 60 in just a few seconds, for sure. Yeah. But it was more calculated than just serendipity. They apparently had laid substantial groundwork to be considered if this were to happen.
And you know, I told somebody, I don't know if you noticed, like, it was like maybe even a whole month ago. Like, all of a sudden, I just started seeing him on CNN. Like, I was sitting in the kitchen. I was like, what is Tim Walz doing on CNN? Is that Carol Levin? You know, because you didn't see him in the national news like that.
No,
you know, you
it
may see him
out
on the
note.
Local news. It popped out of, it started about a month or so ago. Did you notice that, or was it just me?
Yeah. No, it popped out of nowhere. And I think his staff was, his campaign staff was, you know, actively talk. And you do this for a living. You've been a guest booker for years. And you know how that works. Somebody gives you a pitch, and you try to get the position to be, you know, before the public in some form or another. And I'm sure that his aides were calling the various talk show bookers on the cable news networks, for instance. See, here, have my guy on. He'll have some interesting things to say about the political race. And they put him on. And this was all part of apparently a coordinated effort. The public appearances on cable news was part of the organized plan to get him some notoriety and some name recognition that turned out to be beneficial, obviously.
Are you surprised at how welcoming people are? I haven't heard very many people, Democrat or Republican, you know, taking him to task on anything yet. Is this the honeymoon phase, or are they just relieved the decision is made? What the hell is going on?
Well, I think that shows the pent-up anxiety there was among Democratic voters that Joe Biden was going to lose to Donald Trump. And so the fresh face and the new ticket and all that is a breath of fresh air for the Democrats. But he's got issues. The military record's going to be brought up, and how he handled COVID and how he handled the George Floyd aftermath. They've called him, the Republicans have called to order, called to people's attention that he was meeting with an imam in Minnesota who had encouraged some negative behavior along the lines of terrorism. So there's going to be negative ads. And in the end, we had a couple of political science professors on last night who said, you know, the question was, do people vote for the running mate or do they run for the top position? And the answer was they vote for the presidential candidate, not the running mate. So this has been a great unifier for Democrats and a breath of fresh air for Democrats. How far it goes, you know, who knows? We're totally in uncharted territory here, and who knows what's going to happen.
Okay, I want to know what's going to happen at this convention. It is coming up. It is in Chicago. Everything has changed. More with Eric Escala on that topic when we come back. You'll be hearing that song when Kamala Harris walks out on stage at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago in just a week. Eric Escala is joining me to continue this conversation on Tim Walz being selected as her running mate, how the city is electric, what are some of the shots he's going to have to take because of his record. And we have not talked about this convention. It was a sleepy little convention at one point, Eric. A lot of delegates were like, we ain't going. No big deal. There weren't as many parties booked because I wanted to go just to go to the parties, because you and I both know the conventions is where the parties are, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, that's some good parties. And so, you know, just kind of calling around. They didn't really have a lot going on. And now it's the hottest ticket in town. Are you going to the convention? And now that everything's all changed up, what do you expect is going to be the vibe there?
Well, Joe Biden is going to speak apparently on Monday night, the first night of the convention, and often the outgoing office holder speaks on the last night, but it varies from convention to convention. And I'm guessing the Democratic strategy is to pay tribute to Joe Biden, kind of, you know, show reverence to him and thank him for his work, and then out with the old and in with the new, and then the rest of the convention will clearly be designed to showcase Kamala Harris and Tim Walz as the new thing. The Republicans are going to say it's one of the most radical liberal tickets in American history. You wonder if the Palestinian supporters are going to be in the street protesting. You know, there's the haunting symbols of 1968 when the Democratic Convention was held in Chicago, and anti-Vietnam War protesters got into what they later called a police riot, and a lot of them got beaten up in Grant Park in Chicago. I don't have any idea how broad the protests of the pro-Palestinian folks are going to be, but that's one thing to watch for outside the convention hall for sure.
What do you expect to hear from Walz and Harris? Right now it's a lot of rah-rah. Right now it's a lot of teleprompter speeches. Right now it's a lot of riling up the base. But at some point we're going to have to talk more policy. We're going to have to talk why they are, you know, the ones that need to hold this office, why she picked him, why he said yes. I mean, you know, I like the cheering and stuff, but, you know, this excitement is wearing off. I need to, you know, have some meat with my potatoes.
Well, don't you think you use the convention as kind of a launching pad where you maybe don't you do the fine details, but you do the general vision and you make try to make everybody feel good? One of the things I think that they hope that Walz brings is an ability to be tolerated by the progressives and yet appeal to kind of the Midwestern, I'm a native of Nebraska thing that Walz brings. And to bring the party as unified as possible and then head out of the convention. And then Labor Day is usually the kind of the traditional kickoff, and there'll be debates to get into the finer points of policy. But I do think this has sort of a pep rally feel to it. And it's a new ticket. What is it? A month? Not even a month, is it? It's a week.
No. It's a week. It'll be a week old on Tuesday. But yeah, you know, so the news cycle now, we move quick now. We ain't like we used to be. We move quick. We move on very quickly.
Mm-hmm. I was just talking to somebody about this morning, that the assassination attempt and the debate and Biden leaving, you barely remember all that stuff. It does move fast. Yeah, for sure.
Man, TikTok has got the news cycle moving very, very quickly. Now, before you go, you have to tell me, did you hear about Harris calling Walz and the number came up anonymous and he didn't answer? Is that true or is that just urban legend?
No, that's true. And how did they get those cameras in there to get both sides answering the she calling and him answering? That was a good photojournalism or photo campaigning to get that out very quickly. Very convenient. They both had their cell phones out.
Very, very, very convenient. Now, I have to ask you, that makes me wonder, do you, Eric Escala, answer anonymous calls?
If the phone rings, I usually pick it up, yeah.
Okay, whether it's anonymous or not.
Well, you never know. It could be Hollywood.
And you know, that's me. Because who was I talking? Oh, Dave Harrigan, one of our fellow producers here at WCCO Radio. We were chatting about this, and I told him I don't know how the money's going to call. I don't know how the money is trying to reach me, but I want to be available if the money calls. And so I answer all. It could say spam. You know, sometimes the new phones, they say spam. I pick it up anyway. I got to know it's spam.
Seed, time, and harvest, right?
Seed, time, and harvest. Sowing and reaping. Amen. Uh-huh. Don't make me pay you a tithe. I'm not paying you a tithe. You come over here preaching.
I want two nickels for each dollar.
Now, what you got planned for the rest of the day? I sure appreciate you hanging out with me, but I want to know what you got going on this weekend.
We're celebrating my mom's 98th birthday.
What
a
blessing.
The whole family is up in Duluth today.
What a blessing. So what are y'all going to do for mama?
Well, her birthday was Thursday, and so we've had a four-day observance, and the grandkids are in, and my sister and her husband and my two brothers and me, we're having a ball.
Oh, that's beautiful. Now, how many people are there?
Nine.
Wow. Is she just in hog heaven?
Yeah, she's tolerating us well. She's She still does taxes as a sideline at 98 and on the computer and all of that stuff. So she's doing terrific.
You know, it's just a blessing. I know that, you know, and I don't know if this is a Friday night routine. I hope I'm not telling your business. But every Friday that I'm on Almanac before the show, you spend some time and talk with your mother. Is that a ritual for you?
Oh, sure. Well, I talk to her a couple times a day. And with all the politics, I've been calling her more frequently in the last few weeks. But
she keeps up with all of it?
Oh, very much so. She's my northern correspondent out of Duluth.
Well, you tell the northern correspondent out of Duluth, we say happy birthday, God bless, and keep her. And thank you for hanging out with me, friend.
Always fun. Always fun. Thanks, Shaletta.
All right. And I have survived that Delta flight to Boston, where I am doing the show live. Don't go anywhere. We've got two more hours coming up next.